Hello, this is Lisa LaRose here on Connect to Love on a beautiful day, and I am so delighted to welcome Michael J. Russ. I want to just send you another big etheric hug. I know I do it every show, but I just want to remind you how wonderful you are and what a gift you are in my life.
And ditto. You're wonderful. Exactly the same for me.
And one of the gifts that you share with me is that you see eagles all the time behind your house and around your house. I think that it's definitely one of your totems. In Native American, they believe that we had spirit animals that were around us to guide us. For me, we don't have so many eagles here in Pennsylvania where I live, but I do see a lot of hawks. I see them on poles. I see them flying over me. All different times, and I always raise my hand and put a hand on my heart and just say thank you. You know, it's a reminder for me to fly and just to know that I can do different things. So, speaking of which, I don't normally do this, but I did today. I pulled a card from one of my oracle decks by Colette Baron Reed, and it's a wonderful deck. And I don't usually do this before a show, but I did, and the card that I pulled was, of course, the eagle. And so I thought, not only was it a message for me, but was also a message for Michael J. Russ and also our audience. And one of the poignant messages in the invitation of the eagle is to take a deep breath and to spread your wings. And the question was, when is the last time you opened them? Eagle reminds us that our spirit was born to soar in the heavens. And I thought, what a beautiful message and what a wonderful place to start. And it's so much in connection, Michael, with what you had sent me earlier today about seeing ourselves in a place that is magnificent and where it is that our soul came here to do. And one of the messages, the other messages, is they consider it the medicine of the eagle is to really look through the eyes of the eagle and let your vision of the whole and its part become laser-like and set your priorities straight. And I think that it's so much in alignment what we've been talking about, how when we align our frequency to be a vibrational match for what we want, things just flow easier. Things unfold in seemingly miraculous ways. It's when we put these obstacles about struggle, about can't do, shouldn't do, won't do, never have done it, never tried it, that it really, we become our in some ways our own worst enemy. That when we say, okay, you know what, I've never done this before, but let's give it a whirl and open yourself up to new possibilities. Now, I'm not saying, you know, for everybody to go book a thing you've always wanted to jump out of an airplane, you know, go do it. But if it's not in your wheelhouse of things that you've ever desired, don't align yourself to that just because there's a group of people doing it. And I think that it's a very important and poignant thing to know. What is your passion? Where do you want to be? And how do you align yourself with it? So, Michael, I'm going to ask you, you know, you have different passions. How are you planning to spread your wings this spring and into summer?
Oh, I'm already doing it. Spreading my wings, the Etsy shop's keeping me pretty busy and lovingly busy. I'm having fun. I love being creative. And an outlet for creativity is I'm very passionate about that, and it really makes me feel good. It helps me to operate at higher frequencies, and it perpetuates the positive feelings that I have for myself and my life, and I just let that spread into everywhere else along with that. Going to be playing some golf, going to be going to Alaska, going to just book the trip to Portugal in August. I love to travel. I've always traveled my entire life. So the whenever I can get out and meet new people, see new places, that's spreading my wings. And also spreading my wings is identifying opportunities to enlighten others. I did today with a gentleman. I think I talked to you about this a little earlier, but I had the opportunity. You know, I was in a rush. I was going somewhere. However, I kind of noticed someone said something to me, and I figured to myself, I was about to get in my car, and after picking up some seafood at a real popular seafood store, and it was really interesting. His demeanor, his body language, it just it struck me for a moment. And he had said, "Pray for me. I'm having challenges and difficulties in my life." So, and I said, "I had the door open already. I closed the door, and I pulled out my wallet, pulled out my podcast card, and I said, I would love for you to listen to this." And then I just gave him the card, but I started talking to him beyond that. And I said, I would love to do that. I said, I'm not a, you know, religious Bible reading man. I'm just a spiritual guy. I believe in love and kindness and empathy and compassion and treating people with such. And then he says, I have mental issues. And I said, hold on just a second. I said, you have to really understand the language that you use, you know, the words that you use matter because they become physical matter. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
Become things, and because thoughts are things. And if that's what you're saying about yourself, then your whole reality out here, the people you meet, what you encounter, how you feel, whatever, is going to be dictated by what you say you are. So you have to be certain about what you say you are. And he's looking at me and goes, yeah, that makes sense. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And I kind of went on to talk to him about the I am and talk to him about, I said, you know, it seems to me that you're troubled by your past. He had tattoos all over his face and other places, God this and willing that and other things. And I don't know, I said, listen, your past isn't important to me. The only thing that's important is that you're standing here in front of me right now, and I have this opportunity to share some wisdom with you, and wisdom that I believe will help you move forward. And I said, I'm gonna teach you a little prayer called Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono, it's a Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness. And I believe that this is going to help you, if you use it in a proper way, as a tool to let go of your past and anything that you've done that you don't feel good about right now. Because right here, where you are, is this, where you're standing right here, and what you feel right here, what you're thinking about yourself right here, this dictates what happens in the next, you know, in the future. Your past, you can't change. You got to let it go. So this will help you. And I had him repeat it after me. You know, I said, the first one, I said, I'm sorry. I said, repeat. I'm sorry. He goes, I'm sorry. And I said, please forgive me. He goes, please forgive me. And I said, I love you. He says, I love you. And I said, I thank you. And he goes, I thank you. And then he repeated it back himself. And I said, please remember that, because you have to forgive yourself. And I said, I'd put my hand on my heart when I say it, because I'm speaking to myself, and I'm speaking to the energies that I'm putting out there. I said, you know, what you think about yourself is so vital to your life, because that's what you're creating in your life, is the feelings you have for yourself. That's what you're perpetuating in your life. Everything out here is going to validate what you feel about yourself. And you have to feel awesome about yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to cherish yourself. You know, I mean, that's you'll figure out. Bookmark yourself today. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Forget about what happened, man. I mean, the past is the past. You can't change it. But you can impact the future by impacting the way you feel about yourself and the perceptions you have about life right now. You know, there's a lot to unpack with when you're talking to somebody like this who is feeling. And then his girlfriend.
Sure.
Then his girlfriend walked out of the seafood shop, because he was sitting out on the bench in front of my car. And I looked at her, and I looked at her energy, and I'm going, wait a minute. She lit up like a Christmas tree. Her energy field lit up like a Christmas tree. And I'm like, wow. And the first thing that went through my head is, he's with her because she can help him elevate his frequency. Right?
Right.
There's something going on here. I didn't have time to say, you know, what's the relationship between you two, whatever, but I just looked at her and I said, listen, I just had a nice conversation with Willis here, and it's been awesome. And I'm like stoically just stunned by her, how positive her energy is. Or at the time, I'm standing there, and you know, you can tell that his energy. You looked at him, and he was operating in lower levels, right? She walks out, she's operating at a higher level, above 50%, and it just, you're like, wow. I kind of wish I'd had the time to kind of sit and talk to them a little bit about, you know, where they were coming from, what they were doing, how they were together, and all that. And I'd get a sense of why she was in his life. I could only make an assumption that she was in his life because she was supposed to be. That for her at that particular point as a soul. And you know, one of the things I told him, I said it was interesting. I said, "You're here." I said, "Understand this. You're a physical being." This is what I told him about. I wasn't really into reading the Bible and all that, but I'm a very spiritual person because I believe there's a higher power out there, man. I can't explain it. You know, some people call it God. I call it Source. Some people call it something else, the divine, whatever. However, I know that you're a physical representation of this Source. You're a physical representation because the Source doesn't have a physical body. Doesn't have the opportunity to experience, to hug, to love, to say things, to laugh, to have fun. You have been blessed with the opportunity in this life to do just that, to be the physical manifestation of a non-physical being, the end-all, be-all, right? All that is. And so for you at this particular point, you're here to have fun. You're not here to get caught up in all the madness and all the sadness and all this other drama and weariness that goes on down here. And if you've made some bad choices in the past, see them as opportunities and just move past them, you know. And that's kind of where I left things, because I had to get back to my office. But it's what's interesting about it, Lisa, and to our listeners, is that I had a choice. I could have just said, hey, appreciate it, I'll pray for you, and just got in the car and drove away. But something pulled me back and said, I need to have a conversation with him to elevate him beyond where he is right now.
And right.
That is, to me, that is spreading your wings. That's spreading your wings. Taking the opportunity to
really
someone else, to help somebody else. That is what it is. It doesn't happen all the time. You know, I don't really look for those circumstances. I'm just basically, but there are no accidents. So you're kind of put into a situation where you have some wisdom you can share with someone that can help elevate them beyond what their thinking was at that point. And that's really, you have to do it. You just, you know, you feel compelled to. Nothing is more important than connection and human life. So that's you ask the question, and that's really what does it for me. I love that.
Wow, that's so beautiful, Michael. And I really appreciate you sharing that story. And it echoes the fact that you were exactly where you needed to be at that time, at that space, at this moment in the world's evolution. Michael J. Ross was exactly where he needed to be. And you created an invitation for a pivot point for this particular gentleman.
You love it.
To not define himself the way that the world or other people have defined him. And you invited him into something more. And I think it's a beautiful example, because I'm sure as you think about what are the gifts that both of them gave back to you, and I'm sure as you go through your day, you'll replay some of the things that you had during that conversation. And, you know, so, and I think you just look and you say, okay, well, it could have been fate that we were meant to be there. But I think that there was an energetic frequency, something from him even to be able to ask and request for you to please pray for him. He felt your energy. There's
well,
no
true.
Doubt in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean, I don't look at things as fate. I don't look at things as fate, though. I mean, to me, no accidents, no coincidences. That's kind of the way that's my perception of life. And from this perspective, I saw that as an opportunity that you know, we never know how what we say impacts people. When you say hello to somebody and you're nice to somebody, you smile at them or you open the door for them, you don't know how that's going to impact their life. Just that simple gesture of kindness could be the thing that stops them from committing suicide or from doing, quitting their job and moving somewhere else, whatever it may be, something else negative that they're thinking about themselves. It might help them see that they do have value, right? Just, you never know, and you have to be cognizant, ever cognizant, that what you think and say about yourself and how you communicate with people can have an impact on not only you, but definitely on them, especially if they're in a fragile state, a fragile point in their life where they kind of need a little bit of wisdom, that they need to reach beyond where they are, beyond the people that they're hanging around. They need exposure to something different. That's really where it is. And hopefully you'll take my podcast and the two of them and kind of, he said, look, I'll give you a call. I said, well, my phone number isn't on the road. I've got an email address, and I welcome the opportunity to connect with you. And he says, oh, okay, good. And I said, where are you from? He says, oh, I'm from Dothan, which is about an hour and a half from here. And I said, enjoy your time here. They came down, obviously, for a little time, a little R&R, whatever it is that's going on. And hopefully I've given him something to unpack while he's here, a different perspective, a different perception of not only people, but a perception of his own life and how he's allowing the outside world to impact how he feels. This is a huge issue in our present day environment with the plethora of negative information that is being disseminated from every angle in our society today. People who are, and maybe our listeners might be in this group, people who are who are just newly aware of their own sovereignty and are looking for opportunities to learn and to take control of their lives and how they feel. And, you know, the information that is out there that's bombarding us, them, us, everybody from, you know, these various angles I keep talking about, it can wear on you. If you're not careful, it can wear on you. And you can develop why bother? Because the world's going to, as my mother said, hell in a handbasket anyway, and give up on yourself and your life. Why should I be thinking about this if that's going on over there, right? Something that has nothing to do with them. It's very, very important that we understand that we have a lot of power, a lot of self-empowerment, and we can take the reins of our, take the rudder of our own sailboat and just guide us where we need to go. And we may need some assistance along the way. We'll meet people who are of like mind. But what do you do? Think about this for a second. What do you do if you know that your life needs to change, that you need to be beyond it, but you haven't yet gotten to the point where you've connected with someone on the level that you aspire to be on? You know, we talked about we matching and mirroring, right? What if you aspire to elevate your frequency and you need a role model to match, but you live in an area that is so downtrodden, the people around you don't have that same aspiration as you, and you know things need to change for you, and you've got to break free of that. And it's very, very, very challenging for people because the nucleus of everyone around them is supportive, right? Is supporting them. Yet they know they deep inside they want to be somewhere else. It's a conundrum sometimes for people because the ties are in many cases all we have. And it would be some people have fear. Their fear mechanism is elevated because they are concerned about the unknown and what the unknown may bring, yet they know they need the unknown. Hate to go off on that diatribe.
Not at all, Michael. I mean,
it's a challenge.
It does. And sometimes it is finding that courage that we need to begin again, start the new day, do something a little bit different. I like I'm attracted. I think what it is you start to attract the people that are in alignment with you as you start to elevate. And maybe if you're not in an area where you have access to people, I mean, that's what's so wonderful about the internet and about some social media that is the stuff that I tune into, which is usually I like Telegram because I can connect with people from all over the world. And there was a wonderful artist, and he does things in nature, and he basically goes to like a beach and looks at the, it's a rocky beach, and he finds pebbles that look alike, and he just sits there and he picks up pebbles and he moves them and he moves them and he moves them, and slowly they evolve into this beautiful masterpiece that could have been in ancient Rome or in a museum or something else. And I thought, you know what, it is so much of a metaphor. Like in our lives, we pick up these little pieces. Like today, this gentleman met you. And so he's creating this mosaic of experiences, and it forms, and it may not be able to see it clearly, but as you place this piece, and then you place this next one, and this next one, and it takes patience. And before you know it, it unravels into this beautiful reality that you have attracted all of these amazing people around you. And we have to kind of think about that. I mean, yes, the universe is vast, and we're on this little planet, and we've got all of these astronomical things and all of these other things. But I think if you make the choice, and what you presented with to this gentleman is, today's the day, it's the perfect day to start your life again.
Right.
And I think that when we do have that opportunity, that invitation, of course, it's, you know, he could say, yeah, I don't know who this guy was. You know, he gave me this little saying, but I guarantee you it's going to echo in his mind. And I'm sure that he and his girlfriend had a conversation long after you left. And
probably
whether
so.
They choose to, you know, they may not be able to spell Ho'oponopono, but they put those few words in there, it'll come up. I guarantee you that it'll come up. And you had sent me a really wonderful video from Bashar, and that's exactly what he said. He said, the more you match your frequency, the more you become capable of doing what other people do, because it's already within you, and it's just for you to remember that. And the other thing I really loved about the video that you sent me was, he mentioned in there that because somebody was asking about a tool, if they were able to do a certain thing, and he made the point of saying, well, if you find it useful, it'll make your heart sing. He didn't use those words, and I apologize, I can't remember what he said, but basically, when we know that we're, whatever it is it useful? And people, I think you question that. You question, well, I'm doing this thing, but I don't know, you know, because XYZ people that you're friends with aren't doing it, and it can't be validated by them. And so you stop doing it. But you have this yearning. It's something that's calling to you because it feels good. It feels right. It feels like a path that you should follow. And you never know when you choose that path who it is you're going to meet.
I agree. You never have any idea. You're always drawn to the people that you're supposed to connect with. And in remembering that, even if you're in a hurry or your mind is somewhere else or whatever, we have to remember that individual souls on this planet, you know, when you're a messenger, I consider us messengers, okay? We have this podcast. I have my own podcast. We've got things that we do that that impact other people, between this radio show and the podcast. We are messengers, and messenger, you never know when you're going to need to impart your message. We're also light workers in many ways, and you never know when you're going to be called upon to impact, positively impact the life of another person. And it's generally when it's the most inconvenient for you, right? That's generally it. That's when it
can happen, sure.
Yeah, oh yeah. If you're in the middle of something, you got a flat tire, you're on the side of the road, then you know you get called upon to assist someone else with what they need at that particular point in time. And you never can tell, because it's likely that that person will help you take care of yourself too, take care of your needs. And I find that to be the case more than not. And I'm fascinated by life. I'm fascinated by this life experience. That kind of thing that happened to me doesn't happen every day. It hasn't happened to me in at least a few months. And I get emails from people sometimes saying, you know, thank you, I listened to your podcast. I ran into you, and you know, it was exactly what I needed that day. And I'm going, yeah, booyah, there we go. I saw what was, I was guided to what was necessary. I saw it, and I chose to participate, because we always have free will. We can choose not to. We can choose to be hermits living in an igloo in the middle of Alaska or, Antarctica, whatever, and not talk to anyone. However, the beauty of our life is that we have all these wondrous opportunities. And as long as we're not caught up in some thing outside of us, letting something outside of us drive our thoughts and feelings and actions, we'll see it. We'll see it, and we'll know when we're needed. We'll know when we're needed, and mm-hmm. that's the beauty of life. I just I love it. I sit back and I reflect on it, and I go, you know, this is probably the only time I'll talk about it. Because it's not something that needs repeating. I won't put it on social media or anything else. I'm just, for the edification of our own audience, I found that it was maybe a good example for them to mirror in their own lives.
Sure. Mm-hmm. No. And I think, Michael, you're right. Sometimes it's when it's most inconvenient that you're called to do something. And my schedule right now is a little packed. I would just say that. I finished my day at 4:50 this morning. That was my day yesterday. And then I got up and I started my day today. So I had a full day. But a good friend of mine asked me to join her. She was bringing her dog to a holistic vet. And she said that, you know, she wanted to have another set of ears. And since I had a holistic practice, she invited me to come along. And it was very interesting, because when I was there, the receptionist greeted her and her dog. And then she looked at me, she goes, who are you? So, she said, this is Lisa. She said something about me having a holistic practice. And so when we got called to go to the back. It was so interesting, because I guess word traveled from the front to the back that I was there. And it was the vet, when she came in, she's just this wonderful person. She started asking me questions about myself and my practice and what it was that I did. And she's jotting notes down. And I said, well, you know, and who else did you study with? And she's taking notes about me, and I'm thinking, well, this isn't about me. This is about Jack, the little dog. And but it was interesting to see as she was going through some things, and it's a very unusual practice. I was just floored by all of the different things that they offer for animals, and I think to myself, I'm like, this is really what it needs to be for humans. We got there at 1:30. We didn't leave until 7 p.m., so it was a long day, to say the least. But it was interesting, as she was examining the dog, all of a sudden she looked up at me and she said, are you looking at my aura? I said, no, you know what, I'm not. I said, I'm just looking at the process of the way that you're doing things. I'm curious. And I've always been, as you know, somebody that wonders, and I am very curious about the way different things are done, and I can always learn something new, and I go into that space of awe and wonder. But I thought to myself, it was interesting, and I said, no, you know, I wouldn't be invasive, but I thought, I'm here, and who knows what it is that I will end up doing with this veterinarian. I just felt like there was a reason that we connected far beyond what the dog And I think that that is kind of the same thing with your, she asked me, she said, well, you know, what do you do? And I said, well, I've studied with a lot of different individuals. And one of the things that I work with is the holographic field. And in the holographic field, when you're working with a human or when you're working with an animal, there is a pattern. There's a pattern of information. If you look at the floor, and if you look at tile or carpet, there's a pattern, a ceiling. Everything has a pattern, and we're all made up of patterns. So when you are looking to shift and change your pattern, if you find somebody, and you were saying, Michael, about mirroring, or you map that person's pattern, you can tune in and you can take the aspects and go, wow, I really admire that. I would really want to evolve and learn and grow to aspire to be like that. I don't want to be that person, but there's a skill set or something that I would find valuable in my path. And I think that that's part of why we're here on the planet and why we connect with people. And I'm sure that there was something in going back to this gentleman, that he saw in your vibrational pattern, then enough to have the courage to ask for that simple prayer. And so many times it is when we see people that we want to map or emulate. And I love the idea of mapping. I like the idea of, because even when I'm working with somebody in the holistic realm, you know, I'm looking at all of the things that person, not just what is presenting itself as a symptom, but all of the things that were pertinent in their lives. And sometimes I'll ask them to tell me a story about something completely unrelated to the reason that they came to see me, because it's in those words that I can find sort of oftentimes like where that pattern originated. And that's when I can go in and go, okay, you know what? This is where this was created. And it's so interesting when somebody tells you their story or just whatever it is that they have to share that can really make a big, big difference and allow somebody to sort of reroute and go, okay, yeah, well, you know what, I thought I was going down this path, but and in Pittsburgh, we have so much construction. You know, you think you're going somewhere, and then we have a water main break, and then that road shut, and we had flooding, and so a lot of the roadways were shut down, and so something that took me normally 20 minutes took me an hour and a half to get to the destination because I had to be rerouted. But I would have been under proverbial water had I not been rerouted. So you think about all the different times that you have those blessings in a day.
Yeah, that's amazing. So true. Everything you're saying is spot on. You know, I mean, it's our lives are a confluence of different things. And I just have to keep going back to the fact that we all have the ability to create our reality and to create the things that come to us based on the frequencies that we are, you know, we are vibrating in any given moment. And like I told this gentleman today, I mean, I packed a lot into 5 minutes. I mean, I hope I didn't like overload.
I'm sure that you did. I know how.
I mean, I was packing a lot into that moment, but it was one of those things where, you know, I can tell when someone's overloaded. He wasn't overloaded. He was like, oh, "Wow, really? Yeah, okay, yeah." I mean, it's like I was talking about energy fields, and I said, you know, your people around you can sense where you are, my friend, and you know what you're doing, and which is probably why I'm here. Your energy field.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, what you're putting out, you know, is in the lower levels. And
right.
You have to get yourself in the higher levels. And
mm-hmm.
letting life, you know, there's that terminology, you know, if life's got you down. Well, life can only have you down if you succumb to letting life get you down. And that is something we always have to remember, be mindful of, be aware of in some given way, that is, we have the ability to move past that, to not allow that into our lives. Sovereignty being at the base of it, we have to constantly remind ourselves that we're the ones in charge. We can't buy into something unless we choose to buy into it. It's not a given that you have to feel a certain way. And believe me, in the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking a lot about this one. That society as a whole has these expectations of people. Like, you know, if this happens, you must feel sad. Because if you don't feel sad, there's something wrong with you, right? And you know, it's like people who die, people who pass on. You know, I got a choice. I don't have to feel sad about it. I can celebrate their life. You know, I don't have to grieve for deeply for, you know, a month, 2, 5 years, 10 years for this particular person. And I can choose to love and celebrate having known them. I can put a smile on my face. I can dance about it if I want. I don't need to feel sad for them. I know they're not dead. I know where they are. I know what's going on. And that's just through my own study and through connection with the teachers and Nishar and everybody else that we've talked to. And that's something that we in this world have to continue to, as messengers and our listeners, have to keep in mind that we don't have to feel a certain way because society says you need to feel that way, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not that you're, I mean, as long as you're employing kindness and empathy and compassion and love, hey, you can do and say anything you want, as long as that's at the root of whatever it is you're communicating. And for me, I, you know, everybody grieves in a certain way. It's like grieving. People gotta say, "Oh, you got to go through these 7 steps, or you're not done." Well, who came up with those, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't have to go through those 7 steps. I can go through 1 step, or 2 steps, or I can avoid all the steps altogether, because I've prepared myself in advance and I've had conversations and I've talked with them, and you know, I've had that opportunity to connect with them in a way that was on a higher level, on a higher plane. So who is that 7 steps for? And if you don't go through them all, are you still, you know, am I still in a problematic situation? Well, you know, that's letting something outside of you dictate you, dictate what you think, what you feel, how you perceive things. I'm not of that mind. You know that. I know you're not of that mind either. We all have to process what's going on. And generally what we're processing is the loss of a physical to the non-physical. Someone moving from physical to non-physical, not being able to, as I told this gentleman this afternoon, I said, you know, as a physical being, you can love, you can hug, you can tell somebody what you think about them, and you can get a reaction back from them. You can look them in the eye. You can tell them you love them. You can do anything that you want to do with a physical being, which you cannot do with a non-physical being. I mean, there are people who can, of course. Everybody has the capability. However, that's another set of steps. Right, another process in order to get there. However, someone told me long ago. I said, you're missing somebody. The fact that you're sad that somebody's gone is really a selfish thing, because you don't have the ability to touch them anymore and to talk to them or to call them and you know, talk about your dramas in your life or your problems or happy things happening. Whatever, you lose that ability, which is why I tell everyone. Great. The antithesis of that is to actually, when you're harboring ill will towards another person, especially somebody that you've been close to, family or friends or whatever, make peace with them. It's not usually at the heart of whatever your disagreement is in many cases a need to be right about whatever it is, something that really doesn't matter in the long run. Doesn't matter. Something that they've probably forgotten by now. But people who don't talk to people for, you know, their mother or their father or their brother or their sister for, you know, 10, 20 years. I mean, I've never understood that. I mean, other than the fact that maybe that person, you're respecting that person, they don't want to. I mean, you've got to respect other people's, you know, rights, what they want to do, what their choices are. But as long as you make a loving effort then you have to release your attachment to it. That's it. You've done what you can do. You've made a loving effort to connect. And if it's rebuffed, that's not on you. You've done everything you could. And mm-hmm. so it's one of those things that I've given like boatloads of thought to in the past few weeks is how we have a tendency to have these belief systems ingrained in us that have no meaning whatsoever, other than this is a standard. You know, you have to do this as a standard. You have to do that as a standard. If this happens, that's the response that you need to give. But nobody ever talks about love and kindness and compassion and empathy. They just talk about, well, this is the response you need to have. And maybe that's not a response that you need at that particular moment. I don't know. I digress.
Not digressing.
It's one of those things, you know. Dang. When we start off talking about wings and eagles and flying, it's, I know you and I, what we attempt to communicate is that we have the ability to fly every single day and fly someplace new. And it's living that way changes everything. You step outside of the normal course of life. Let's say normal, but normal being what society perceives as normal, and you live differently. All the people I know live differently. They do. You, my brother, my sister, you know, my other friends that I have, all live differently. All live differently. Then they haven't followed the path that society said they needed to. They needed to go the road they needed to go down, you know, and that's just the frequency that I've resonated at, and my family does the same thing, and I'm blessed to have them in my life because we're all creatives in one way or another, you know, self-actualized
right.
creatives, and you have that ability. You can choose whatever you want to do, you know.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
That, and Michael, you know, one of the other parts of that card, I think it asks the question, I have to go back to just what it said. It says here in this, like, what did you come to do in this life? Did you come to be a better person, to heal your heart, or to realize your essential self? What is your divine mission? And I think that when you meet people like you do, It was a moment in time that was meant not just for you, but also for that other gentleman. And who knows where your journey will end? Who knows where his journey will end? If your paths will cross again, you never know. I mean, sometimes it's really amazing how small the world really is. I was on a train in Florence, and just like I was on my way to Florence, and this young guy is like, oh, where are you from? And I said, oh, from Pittsburgh. And he said, oh, I have a cousin from Pittsburgh. Like, there's a lot of people in Pittsburgh. And he said, he gave me the name of his cousin. And I said, oh, that's so interesting, because that young man was a player on my brother's team, hockey team, and my dad coached him. What are the odds? What were the odds, really?
I don't know, billions to one?
Yeah. I mean, but that happens to me all the time. It just is so interesting how things unfold. And when you were speaking, Michael, and all I could think of, because you were talking about so many different things that I could unpack, but all I got was like this tree, like a tree, like the rings of a tree. And here we are at the center. That's us. When we come in, we're like that little seed. And as we grow, and all the experiences, if you've ever looked at the tree, and you can tell when there was drought, and you can tell when there was water or more nourishment or all sorts of things, if there was injury in the way, those things. And what I thought about as you were speaking was how we're so much like that, and we expand this perimeter of possibilities. Like, if we really truly believe in our potential, yeah, we've got a little bit of you know, there was no water there, there wasn't perceiving that there wasn't enough, but then look at how much wonderful things unfolded afterwards. And I think that truly when we allow, we don't know what is going to transpire. You know, I wasn't expecting to be at a veterinarian's office for, you know, 6.5 hours. I thought I was just going for, you know, a little bit of a thing, but it was very interesting, and I've learned new things, and I don't know if it's going to end up helping some of my animals or somebody else's animals, what I learned just from the short time that I was there. And I think when we're really honest with ourselves about what it is that our heart wants, we can open up to that and expand our perimeters of possibilities. And yeah. And that's what is so powerful for me, being able to do this show with you and to connect with our audience, because there's a lot of things that we feed off of each other, and I hope that there are things that inspire our listeners to maybe look and perceive things a little differently. Because like that eagle, when you spread your wings, how high are you going to soar? And yeah. I think
how high will you allow yourself to soar?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the last message. Free yourself and live your highest destiny. Fly. I mean, and I love it because eagles are in your life so often. I mean, you sent me some amazing videos of the eagles that are in your yard. I mean, what a more powerful totem to have.
Yeah.
You live and your highest destiny.
Coming down, there was one about 2 weeks ago, the same bald eagle, there's a pair. It actually came down about 75 yards in front of us as we were driving through the barn. It flew over us and down, and it landed for a few seconds on the oncoming side of the traffic side of the road, just on the side of the road, and I guess to check something out, and then it just bolted off again before we even got to that point. But it was so close. I said, "Oh my gosh, I love it," and I love it because it's majestic. It's a super majestic bird. I can only hope. Now you're going to make me want to go check out this. Whether this is the eagle's totem.
I think it's just
we'll ask the teachers in the next show whether that's the case, but I'll ask my pendulum when we get done here. But I mean, it's a nice thing to wonder, it's a nice thing to think about, you know, and because it is so majestic, and I'd feel incredibly blessed if that was the case, like I do now, probably a little bit more. But thank you for mentioning it. It's wonderful. We've had probably about 4 encounters just in the confines of our own backyard. Yeah, literally. Mm-hmm. And I'm in awe every time I see that bird because of its rarity and majestic aspect of it. It's crazy.
Truly.
I
had an encounter when I was in Alaska, and we were in a small, and we had gotten off of the cruise ship and were on a smaller boat doing a tour of the harbor, and this eagle was perched and watching, and it was just like, wow, this is so, it was just so magnificent, and then to see it just take off and soar around. I mean, it must have been watching the water where the fish were, and then just go in and see the talons, and it just pulls out this big, huge fish. It was just amazing. It was transformational for me to watch it.
It can be. That's the beauty of it. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. You know, it's also, to me, it's just a metaphor for you're on the right track, so to speak. I don't know. I guess when I think that, it just makes me feel so incredible. I think when you see a bird like that so close, you think to yourself, "My gosh, this thing can spot a mouse from 500 feet." You know, I mean, it's got such awesome air and eyesight. And as a bird of prey, it's definitely different. And you know, what does that tell us about our ourselves, you know. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
Truly. And that was one of the things that I, again, going back to the video that you sent me, and Bashar may not be in resonance with some of our listeners, but I love the reminders, because one of the things that he talked about was about seeing yourself as a master. And he said, everyone is a master. And so when you even in nature, you know, you look at an eagle is a master of its domain. And when we really perceive ourselves, and he made a point of saying that, he said, you know, remembering basically who you are, and that we all have these innate abilities within us. And that when we find somebody like the gentleman that you had the interaction with, he has the innate capacity to be where you are, and you come and you're a vibrational match to what he needs to elevate himself to. And so you're reminding him of his own greatness, of what his potential. Of like the one teacher that I had that I studied with, John White, he said all the time, you're getting better and better at remembering the things that you forgot. Like, say that over and over. You are getting better and better at remembering the things that you forgot, because when we come into this world, we have no remembrance of who we are, what we came to do, or the people that were in our tribe. I think that when, you know, I have this kinship with you, I know that we've been together for before this lifetime.
Absolutely.
And I just feel it.
And it's somebody said something very profound a number of years ago to me. And they said that there's not one person that you've encountered in your life that in some other life, and no matter how brief, that in some other life you didn't encounter. And think about that for a second. You know, I mean, the number of people, you're on a train and you look at somebody and they look at you and you acknowledge their existence and think about that person being in another life where you, in some way, they were right there as well. That just blows your mind. You know, that you haven't encountered anyone in this life that you haven't encountered in another life. I mean, we have thousands of lives. There's no telling how or, you know, what position. It could have been somebody that could have been a shopkeeper. It could have been somebody who worked in a shop, you know, 10,000, 50,000 years ago, whatever, wherever we were. But it is pretty interesting to sit back and imagine that. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. You know, I've said for a long time that, you know, my motto is to leave people better than I found them. And I think I've even put it in a couple of my books. And I come to find out that that is Pam Gregory's motto as well.
Mm-hmm.
Found him. She said it on the podcast. I said, wow, that's interesting. There is no original thought, quite frankly. It's none. It's just everything's out there in the ether. Everything's out there in consciousness. We're just pulling stuff out of consciousness, the global world, universal consciousness, whatever. It's all out there, and we have access to it. It's wonderful to think that all this really cool stuff is out there. All we have to do is just navigate our way through the negativity that exists, that, you know, other people preying on us, preying on our personality, preying on perceived weaknesses in order to benefit themselves. And there's a lot of this, a lot more of it now than there used to be 40 years ago. I mean, 40 years ago, they didn't have the outlet to do that. They didn't have the mechanism whereby they could do that. But today, they do. They have the internet, and they have apps, and they have social media, and they have messaging apps, WhatsApp and others. And I can't tell you how many strange people I get who have my number, and I'm deleting people all the time as junk people who just, it's a phone number, they don't say who they are, they say, hey, how are you doing, and they think of the most creative ways to try and do something, you know, like they call you by some other name, and then you're going, that's not me, and then they go, well, it's not you, but who are you, You know, I'm going like, let me just say I don't have time for this, you know. But there are people who will be, and I don't know if that person is trying to suck me into some kind of scam or do whatever. I'm just very upfront. It's very, you know, when I usually say ask them for a name or ask them, you know, where they are, what's going on, generally the communication stops. When I start asking questions about facts, the conversation, what it seems they're looking for is for me to develop some sort of emotional connection. And I don't even know who you are. And that's not the way I develop communications. It's face-to-face. You know, emotional connections are best derived face-to-face, where you can see somebody, look into their eyes, and you can sense their body language and their energy. That's the best way, right?
No, without a doubt.
And we have to teach our young people that. That's the best way.
Oh, you're 100% right, Michael. Yeah. Our connection to love is what makes a difference. And I just want to share just real quick that your story today reminded me so much. One, many, many years ago, gosh, it's got to be at least 25 years ago, I was walking down the street and there was a gentleman, homeless, elderly, and as I was on my way to a meeting and with my business partner, and as I was walking, this man stopped me and he looked at me and he said, "If you pray for me, I'll pray for you." And I looked at him and I said, "Of course I'll pray for you." And there was a connection that we had just in that short exchange, and I looked into his eyes and I turned to say something with the gentleman that I was with, and then I turned back and this man was gone. It was like he had vanished. He was just gone. He was right there and then he was gone. And all I could think of was, oftentimes we entertain angels unaware. And it was that, and I still get shivers all up and down my arms and my legs when I think about it. And I think that is the type of experience that you had. And when you are in that space, which is a loving space, Michael, I mean, there's no word other than where you were today. It introduces us to that highest possible frequency that can not only change the moment, it can forever change the person that we interacted with, but we are also forever changed ourselves.
That's wonderful. It's a great story.
Really,
you never can tell. You know, it's like we should never take the existence of another soul for granted, you know, and because it's true. Angels can be in human form to help us, just with the slightest things, the simplest things. Maybe to answer a question or to nudge us in a particular direction, and we still have the choice to go in that direction, but to, you know, point the way, so to speak. I think that's awesome. That is, shivers big time on that one.
Mm-hmm. No, I just have never forgotten it. I can still see his face as vibrantly today as I did then. He just vanished. And no, and we were, I mean, it was, there was nowhere for him. We were on a straight street. There wasn't a place that he could turn off or go into.
Really?
And that's what was so curious about it. Because I'm like, wait a minute. And because Rob, the gentleman I was with, said, "What are you talking about? There's nobody there." I'm like, yes, he was there. He was definitely there. I mean, it just was so amazing. And I think it's those reminders, too, that we're not alone. We're not alone in this journey.
No.
Because, it's just, it was. And here we are, you know, so many years later and still, connecting. And like you, I'm sure you had miraculous encounters like that as well, Michael.
You know, what's interesting. You're
forever changed.
True. I have had some. On another show, I'll tell you about coming back from college several times late at night, and how many, many times I could have had an accident, but I didn't. And especially late falling asleep, driving home 2.5 hours, and falling asleep in a car, but I didn't. But we got about 30 seconds left here, so I'm going to simply say this. It's always a pleasure to do this show with you, and I hope our listeners are appreciative of some of the wisdom that we're putting forth and can take a small morsel of it to improve their lives. I really, really do. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Likewise. Yes, okay. Likewise. Thank you.
Right.
And enjoy a beautiful day and an amazing week.